At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. A federal judge has ruled the state of Texas cannot cut off Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood. Shelley Koffler with Texas Public Radio reports.
The decision follows the disputed claims of some Republican leaders that Planned Parenthood was selling fetal tissue from aborted fetuses. The decision by U.S. District Judge Sam Sparks preserves the rights of some 11,000 low-income Texas women to use Planned Parenthood's non-abortion services. They include family planning and cancer screenings. In court, the state of Texas focused on a heavily edited video produced by an anti-abortion group that attempted to show Planned Parenthood employees admitting to selling aborted fetal tissue. Planned Parenthood denied the claims and said the video was doctored. Judge Sparks said the state had not authenticated the video and had not provided evidence that Planned Parenthood had profited from selling fetal tissue. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the state plans to appeal the ruling. Texas is now at least the sixth state where federal courts have sided with Planned Parenthood and said its providers should remain eligible for Medicaid reimbursements. Shelley Koffler, Texas Public Radio News.
Priorities for the Texas House this legislative session include dealing with outdated hospitals. At yesterday's first meeting of the House Committee on Public Health, Mike Maples with the State Health Services Department said replacing five old hospitals is near the top of the agency's priority list. Maples said maintenance and upkeep of facilities is a significant challenge. The agency is also exploring telemedicine as a way of addressing shortages of psychiatric care providers, especially in rural parts of Texas. Any hospital stay can be traumatic, but 30% to 80% of patients in intensive care units go through a period of profound confusion known as ICU delirium. It's part of KERA's Breakthroughs Project, exploring the leading edge of health science and technology. Lauren Silverman reports doctors and nurses from Parkland Hospital are taking part in a national effort to prevent delirium.
It would have been easier to leave 56-year-old Mary Hill in her hospital bed. She's got a bunch of tubes and lines attached to her. She just had two emergency stomach surgeries after going into septic shock, and she can't move her legs.
Grab this. Nope, not yet. Don't turn yet. Grab here again.
A little bit more.
One more time.
Kara Tabor, the physical therapist in the surgical intensive care unit at Parkland, is gently supporting Hill as she uses her arms to lift her legs one at a time and pull them toward the edge of the bed.
Sorry, I know this is not pretty.
Well, it's not meant to be pretty because you're doing all the work.
Okay.
Hill is doing all the work for a reason. Like every patient in this ICU and 76 others across the country, Hill is on a treatment plan designed to prevent ICU delirium. It's an intense period of disorientation and confusion that can come with paranoia, even hallucinations, and can have serious long-term side effects. Here's trauma surgeon Brian Williams.
She's a perfect example of a patient that we probably would have hurt a couple years ago.
Not intentionally hurt. Hurt by giving too many sedatives, by allowing her to lay in bed all day with the blinds closed, by keeping her snowed in, essentially in a coma. That's been standard ICU protocol since the 90s. Now, Hill has a team of doctors, nurses, physical therapists, and pharmacists all closely monitoring her medication, cutting back sedatives as soon as possible, and constantly getting her moving.
And you can see 2 weeks after being septic and intubated, she's mobile and talking and dramatically different outcome that would have happened a few years ago.
ICU delirium affects people of all ages. It might sound minor, but it means more days in the hospital, higher costs, and a higher chance of dying. And a third of patients who suffer delirium and make it home have cognitive problems that mimic traumatic brain injury or mild Alzheimer's up to a year later. To put it simply, critical care doctors like Wes Ely with Vanderbilt University Medical Center have been saving patients' lives.
But we're leaving them without the ability to think well, go back to work, lead their life as they wanted to before.
After studying ICU delirium for the past two decades, Ely designed the program Parkland and many other hospitals are following. It's called ICU Liberation. And so far, it's been a success.
It dramatically reduces the amount of exposure that patients get to these dangerous drugs. It gets them out of the bed sooner. It mobilizes them, plus involving the family so patients get reoriented. And it makes a massive difference overall to the patient.
A paper just published in the journal Critical Care Medicine shows adopting the ICU Liberation Program improves survival and reduces the amount of delirium and coma by 15%. That doesn't mean it's been easy.
So obviously, as we start getting them up, getting them unsedated and out and about, it's a lot more dangerous for them. We've got lines and tubes and all these things that could possibly go wrong.
Parkland nurse Kim Mai says there's been a cultural shift in the ICU to work in teams and to manage those new risks.
The old culture was keep them safe. Now the culture seems to me like get them better faster. And I was very, very happy to be a part of that.
Oh, yay.
Excellent.
After 10 long minutes, Mary Hill, who's now sweating, makes it into her wheelchair. Next stop, she says, home.
I love being here, but I'm ready to go home. I've got dogs at home that really miss me.
Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Time now is 8:30.